And Ray, here's an animal that is a very colorful bird. Hello. And of course, it's a talker. It's a parrot, a member of the Cetacean family. This is a double yellowhead parrot. And the name, of course, comes from the beautiful coloring. The parrots are from Central and South America, as far as Panama on down south.
Now, Doctor, why do we have this parrot in the cage today?
The reason it's in the cage, because I didn't want to prove to people that parrots can fly.
A long time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. It was green alligators and long-necked geese.
Steve Dale with you on a Sunday afternoon on WGN. I'm honored to call this gentleman a longtime friend of mine, celebrating a very special day just around the corner. I will not sing to you, Dr. Fisher, because I don't want to do that to you. Dr. Lester Fisher, former director of the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago. However, I will say, and by the way, friends, if you want to say happy birthday, 312-981-7200. You have a memory, you can text or you can call. Dr. Fisher, happy birthday!
Thank you very much, Steve. This is a very exciting time to hear your voice and know that my birthday's coming up.
Number 100. So let me start here. What is the secret to, you're in reasonably good health. What's the secret to this?
Well, except for my eyes and my legs, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm able to function, and I guess the secret is just good food, good genes, and good luck.
Yeah. Well, so the secret is not playing with gorillas, which you did plenty of at some point in time. And I want to reminisce a little bit. So how did you become director of the Lincoln Park Zoo in the first place? I think your predecessor was a well-known zoo director, Marlon Perkins, who later went on to do Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. How did that come to be?
Well, it came to be because at one time after I came home from the Army, I was at Northwestern Medical School, which is on the near north side of Chicago. And while I was there, occasionally there'd be a phone call from Marlon. There was no zoo doctor, and he'd ask me if I could help. And so because of the proximity and the fact that I made time for it, I became, without realizing it, a part-time zoo doctor.
Well, and you eventually became director of the zoo. How did that happen?
Well, after I took care of the health of the animals for 15 years while I had a small animal hospital practice out in the western suburbs, Marlon told me one time that he's going to be leaving and going back to St. Louis where he started his career. And I sort of thought to myself, well, that's kind of an interesting switcheroo. And for several months, I debated about the fact that I had an interest in the zoo and I perhaps should look into the possibility of applying to be director. And my family and I talked about it at some length, and finally I put in an application. And at that time, Mr. McFetridge, the famous labor leader in Chicago, was head of the park board, the park district. And I told him that I had an interest, and next thing I knew, one time on my weekly visits to the zoo, I was asked to go to his office there, and lo and behold, he said, Dr. Fisher, you are now our new zoo director, and I thought, wow, that's really an incredible thing, and from then on, I had an office in the Monkey House at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Yeah, you could honestly say you worked with monkeys and you literally meant it. I remember last time I spoke to you, I explained to you that I had just interviewed Betty White. And Betty White is now 99. You're about to be 100. I know that both of you are friends. So I believe you're the only person on the planet who can walk up to Betty White and say, "How you doing, kid?"
I can tell you a cute story about Betty. One time when she was in Chicago, whenever she came, we'd get together if possible. And she came over to my apartment, which is across the street from the zoo at that time. And she had dinner with me. And after we had a lovely dinner, I said, "Betty, I'd like you to come with me." And she said, "Where?" And I said, "To the bedroom." And she said, "Whoa. That's the best daughter I've had in a long time." And my then wife, Wendy, was collecting Raggedy Ann dolls. And I said, "Betty, Wendy would like you to have one of these dolls." And she said, "Do you really mean that?" I said, "Of course." And so she picked out a doll and sat down and started crying and said, "This is the first time I've had a Raggedy for many, many years." And so that's kind of a pleasant, fun story of our relationship.
Oh, that is so nice. That's so sweet. 312-981-7200. Lots of texts coming in that simply say happy birthday, but one that says gorillas, simply. That's all it says, gorillas. So let's go through some of the gorillas legendary in Chicago. I suppose we start with Sinbad. Is my memory right?
Well, we go back farther than that. We go to Bushman.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
He preceded Sinbad. And Bushman was a legendary character in the gorilla world of the entire world. And when he was a youngster, he was slated to go to New York to the zoo there. And for whatever reason, I have no recollection, they didn't take the so-called sale of him, and he ended up here in Chicago. He was 1 year old. And Bushman grew to be a physically incredible character. He was 550 pounds, strong, well-built, and so he grew up and lived in Chicago, and he became sort of a trademark of the city. There were two famous gorillas at that time in the United States. And he was the one in Chicago, and Gargantua was the gorilla in the Ringling Brothers Circus. And so these two were both incredible characters, and people came to Chicago to see Bushman. And at that time, he lived in a double cage area, the double cage meaning keepers could shift him from one cage to the other while they cleaned up in the cage that he was in. And so I became the doctor to Bushman. And, of course, there was no hands-on situation there. Was strictly looking at him from the back work area into his cage. And if we needed to try some medications, we had to try something that he would drink or eat and put the medicine in there. And fortunately for me, he was reasonably healthy. And for about 3-4 years, I was able to kind of give him an eye over and see what he's doing and how he's doing. And I had great respect for him. And then one day, lo and behold, I hear a story. Remember, my office is at the other end of the old monkey house, and he's at the other end. And lo and behold, they said, "Bushman's out." And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said, "He's out of his cage." And he was in the back area there behind his cage. And we, of course, ran down there to that area, and lo and behold, there I see Bushman, and by chance, strictly chance, I find out that the keepers at times had been playing some games and would show him a snake, a harmless little snake, and he had a fear of that, and he would react. And so I said to someone, go to the reptile house and bring a garter snake here, and they did, and we put it down the doorway area between Bushman and us, and he took a look and walked back into his cage. And so that took care of that situation, but it was kind of a scary moment in my life. And then it turns out that, lo and behold, I had three other gorilla escapes during my tenure at Lincoln Park Zoo. I don't know of any other zoo director that was so lucky to have not only one, but four gorillas walk out.
Well, I want to get back to those. I want to talk about the differences, and they are enormous with the way zoos are operated today and the enrichment animals get today and the training, quote unquote, they get today as compared to back in the day. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Fisher, Dr. Lester Fisher, past director of the Lincoln Park Zoo, celebrating birthday number 100. Steve Dale's Other World on a Sunday afternoon. And full disclosure, I once worked at the Lincoln Park Zoo. I was a volunteer there, and I also edited the zoo newsletter at that time. And I'll tell you, where I put that together was just down the offices from where Dr. Fisher is. And Dr. Fisher would invite me in his office and we'd chat. And I remember those conversations. I also, as a kid, grew up watching Ark in the Park and other segments Dr. Lester Fisher did on television. And I'm sure that has something to do with my love of animals. And when I wrote a book called American Zoos so many years ago, I mean, many, many years ago, Dr. Fisher, I dedicated the book to you as well as my father, who had an enormous love of animals. And in fact, I'm grateful that you asked me to do a cover line more recently, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, when you authored a book about zoos, which is a book that I would recommend. Lots of people want to talk to you, Dr. Fisher, and wish you a happy birthday. Happy 100th birthday. Diane, you're up first on WGN on the Team Hochberg phone line. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Happy birthday on Valentine's Day to Dr. Fisher, too. That's a milestone.
Indeed. Dr. Fisher, she's saying happy birthday.
When I was a child, I don't know, I have a vague recollection of a gorilla named Samson.
Samson, I remember hearing. So the gorilla, these gorillas were before my time. My first gorilla was Otto the gorilla.
Oh, well, I just wanted to ask him about that. And the other was, what prompted the big changes in the way the animals were kept at the zoos? I remember a funny story when I was a child.
Hang on, Diane, hold that funny story. So first, Dr. Fisher, Diane is on the phone, a listener who says, I remember Samson. What is your memory of Samson the gorilla?
I don't recall Samson being at Lincoln Park. I think that she's confusing that animal with others.
Oh, okay. I thought I remember a Samson, too. Maybe I'm thinking of Otto, right? There was an Otto.
Otto was one of the four that was famous for walking out of his cage at some time. And Lincoln Park Zoo is so fortunate. We had over 50 babies born during my tenure.
Wow. 50 baby gorillas or?
Correct. These are all gorillas. We had the best breeding program for gorillas anywhere in the world.
And now the Great Ape House is named the Dr. Lester Fisher Great Ape House. Diane, you had another memory?
Yes, I did. First of all, I want to wish you a really happy birthday. This is a big milestone on Valentine's Day. Happy birthday, Doctor.
Thank you so much. I accept that happily.
I hope you live well beyond that. The other thing I remember as a child, it was just a story, and it relates to what prompted the way the animals were kept at zoos. And I remember a story about elephants and how they had moats around, and the elephants would like hang at the edge of the moat, reaching for peanuts and everything from the other side. And one of the elephants got jealous that the other one was getting more peanuts and kind of gave him a nudge, and he ended up in the moat.
Oh, no. I don't remember that at the Lincoln Park Zoo, Dr. Fisher.
That's a good zoo story, but not Lincoln Park, because we just had one elephant for many, many years, Judy. And she lived in a winter house, and then she also had an outdoor enclosure. But there was no moat. There were just fences around her.
Thank you very much, Diane. Hal, you're on the Team Hochberg phone line wishing Dr. Lester Fisher a happy 100th birthday. Hi, Hal.
Hello, Dr. Fisher. This is going way back, but you were our vet for our dog in the 1950s.
Wow.
I can still remember the office. And when you had a freezer, I think, that when you walked in, that you sold horse meat for the animals, for the dogs. And I remember my mom cooking that. I tell you, horse meat, again, I hate to say it, but I mean, it smelled great and the dog loved it. But I still remember you.
Well, that's another interesting story. And, of course, one of the agency stories that's next to that is the fact that there were women in Chicago who made packages for the animals, and especially on the old Bear Line. They would come down and throw some different bakery items into the cages. And I used to look at that and thought that's nothing to do with a balanced diet, but it gave the people pleasure doing it, that the animals certainly loved to get the pastries that I could have enjoyed eating. And so that's one story about food at Lincoln Park.
Thank you so much, Hal.
Happy birthday, Doctor.
That I could tell you about food is the fact that I once had a lunch with Joan and Ray Kroc, the McDonald's, and he said that a restaurant without a good kitchen is not a good restaurant. And so Lincoln Park at that time had no facility per se for handling the food for the animals. And he gave me at the end of that lunch a check for $1 million and said, go build a good commissary for the zoo. And I walked out of there that time. I literally walked on air carrying my check.
Wow. That is an amazing story. I may go to McDonald's after the show just for that purpose. Rose, you are on WGN with Dr. Lester Fisher.
Hello and happy birthday.
Thank you.
My girlfriend is listening and she's going to kill me, but Dr. Fisher, I believe you may know my very good friend, Dr. Jackie Verneau, and her amazing husband, Raymond Coates.
And you may have seen
them or worked with them at the Lincoln Park Zoo. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
They are wonderful people and great friends, and I know she's listening, and it's amazing. I've seen pictures of some of the things that have happened that Dr. Coates had done, and I listened to you when I was a child, so I just wanted to call in and just give you a little shout-out and mention Dr. Verneau and Dr. Coates as wonderful people and friends who adored you as well.
Well, that's very, very kind, and I accept that happily. And I could mention that, again, at Lincoln Park Zoo, medically, I was fortunate and got help from the medical community. And whenever I had a sick animal that needed some special care, why, I had these medical people who not only were tops in their field, most of them were at Northwestern Hospital there, they would come and help me take care of the animals. And that was a special, nice thing to have as a backup for our needs there at the zoo.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, Rose. You know, we have less than a minute here, Dr. Fisher. Zoos have changed a lot since your day, especially since you began at the zoo. You could talk for 4 hours on this topic, but in less than a minute, what are the biggest changes?
I think the biggest thing that's changes is that we took the animals literally out of jail. They were in, you know, bare cement cages, and the idea was that it was sanitary to hose the cage out, and we decided to create a sort of happy place for the animal to be. Kind of, we did a naturalistic thing with various materials, and instead of just a bare cage, animals now live in what I consider comfortable homes. And I am so proud of the fact that Lincoln Park Zoo has spent many millions of dollars giving these animals that are so special to all of us the best possible home.
Well, Dr. Fisher, you've made a difference for zoos, not only the Lincoln Park Zoo, zoos all over the world. Your impact is undeniable, but in lives like Rose and my life as well. Happy birthday, and thank you so much. What a wonderful life.